Now it was Violet's turn to look down, and Duncan's turn to reach across the table and take her hand. "She died too," Violet said. "To tell you the truth, Duncan, our lives have been very topsy-turvy for quite some time." "I'm very sorry to hear it," Duncan said, "and I wish I could tell you that things will get better here. But between Vice Principal Nero playing the violin, Carmelita Spatz teasing us, and the dreadful orphan shack, Prufrock Prep is a pretty miserable place." "I think it's awful to call it the orphan shack," Klaus said. "It's a bad enough place without giving it an insulting nickname." "The nickname is more of Carmelita's handiwork, I'm sorry to say," Isadora said. "Duncan and I had to live there for 3 semesters because we needed a parent or guardian to sign our permission slip, and we didn't have one." "That's the same thing that happened to us," Violet cried. "And when we asked Nero to make an exception..." "He said he was too busy practicing the violin," Isadora said, nodding as she finished Violet's sentence. "He always says that." "Anyway, Carmelita called it the orphan shack when we were living there, and it looks like she's going to keep on doing it." "Well," Violet sighed, "Carmelita's nasty names are the least of our problems in the shack. How did you deal with the crabs when you lived there?" Duncan let go of her hand to take his notebook out of his pocket. "I use my notebook to take notes on things," he explained. "I plan to be a newspaper reporter when I get a little older, and I figure it's good to start practicing. Here it is, notes on the crabs. They're afraid of loud noises, you see, so I have a list of things we did to scare them away from us." "Afraid of loud noises," Violet repeated, and tied her hair up in a ribbon to keep it out of her eyes. "When she ties her hair up like that," Klaus explained to the Quagmires, "it means she's thinking of an invention. My sister is quite an inventor." "How about noisy shoes?" Violet said suddenly. "If we took small pieces of metal and glued them to our shoes, then wherever we walked we would make a loud noise, and I bet we'd hardly ever see those crabs." "Noisy shoes!" Duncan cried. "Isadora and I lived in the orphan shack all that time and never thought of noisy shoes." He took a pencil out of his pocket and wrote "noisy shoes" in the dark green notebook, and then turned a page. "I do have a list of fungus books that are in the school library, if you need help with that tan stuff on the ceiling." "Zotwall!" Sunny shrieked. "We'd love to see the library," Violet translated. "It sure is lucky that we ran into you two twins." Duncan's and Isadora's faces fell, an expression which does not mean that the front part of their heads actually fell to the ground. It simply means that the two siblings suddenly looked very sad. "What's wrong?" Klaus asked. "Did we say something that upset you?"
"Twins," Duncan said, so softly that the Baudelaires could barely hear him.
"You are twins, aren't you?" Violet asked. "You look just alike."
"We're triplets," Isadora said sadly.
"I'm confused," Violet said. "Aren't triplets 3 people born at the same time?"
"We were 3 people born at the same time," Isadora explained. "But our brother Quigley died in the fire that killed our parents."
"I'm very sorry to hear that," Klaus said. "Please forgive our calling you twins. We meant no disrespect to Quigley's memory."
"Of course you didn't," Duncan said, giving the Baudelaires a small smile. "There's no way you could have known. Come on, if you're done with your lasagna, we'll show you the library."
"And maybe we can find some pieces of metal," Isadora said, "for noisy shoes."
The Baudelaire orphans smiled, and the 5 of them bussed their trays and walked out of the cafeteria. The library turned out to be a very pleasant place, but it was not the comfortable chairs, the huge wooden bookshelves, or the hush of people reading that made the 3 siblings feel so good as they walked into the room. It is useless for me to tell you about the brass lamps in the shapes of different fish, or the bright blue curtains that rippled like water as a breeze came in from the window, because although these were wonderful things, they were not what made the 3 children smile. The Quagmire triplets were smiling, too, and although I have not researched the Quagmires nearly as much as I have the Baudelaires, I can say with reasonable accuracy that they were smiling for the same reason. It is a relief, in hectic and frightening times, to find true friends, and it was this relief that all 5 children were feeling as the Quagmires gave the Baudelaires a tour of the Prufrock Library. Friends can make you feel that the world is smaller and less sneaky than it really is, because you know people who have had similar experiences, a phrase which here means having lost family members in terrible fires and lived in the orphan shack. As Duncan and Isadora whispered to Violet, Klaus, and Sunny, explaining how the library was organized, the Baudelaire children felt less and less distressed about their new circumstances, and by the time Duncan and Isadora were recommending their favorite books, the 3 siblings thought that perhaps their troubles were coming to an end at last. They were wrong about this, of course, but for the moment, it didn't matter. The Baudelaire orphans had found friends, and as they stood in the library with the Quagmire triplets, the world felt smaller and safer than it had,
for a long, long time.